As we call our dear brother Carl Hagensick to the platform, again, the brethren at Southeast Michigan, we do hope that we will all gain a much profitable and blessings in the Lord at this convention this weekend. We think of our Lord Jesus, who frequently drew apart into a mountain or a desert place to pray and to meditate. And the brethren at Southeast Michigan selected these beautiful surroundings for our convention in an effort to put the world and its influence far away from us, thus to enhance the benefit of this spiritual feast. We read in Acts 16, verse 13, that tells us about a place that was away from the city, that was by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. The beauties of nature, brethren, are a reminder of the loving and the gracious character of God. God's handiwork is seen in the trees, in the flowers, in the grass, in that beautiful lake outside. Also, even in us, for we know that we are wonderfully made. The order and symmetry of nature demonstrates the power and the wisdom of our great Jehovah, our great Father. Here this weekend, we will be feeding upon the great and promises of God without the jar and discord of the world. We trust that all will be richly blessed and uplifted by the feast of spiritual bounties provided by Brother Carl Hagensick, Brother Gilbert, Brother Rice, Brother Springer, and Brother Weeks. May the Lord have blessings for this weekend.
A few introductory remarks might be fitting. When we saw the program, we weren't too sure what a devotional study was supposed to be. We didn't know if it meant that the format should be devotional or the subject matter should be devotional. So we finally opted for the latter. Someone had suggested that much of the theme of this convention was going to be on Paul's writings, and therefore the Epistle to the Ephesians seemed to be a very good start. We have purposely chosen a rather large section of Ephesians, the second through the fourth chapters, to get the heart of the book. And because we're looking at the whole, and our time is short, we're going to go for more of an overview of Ephesians. And to do that, we have broken it down into eight subtopics, eight sections, with a proposition as to what to look for as we look into each of these sections. You may have noticed we've chosen the Phillips translation, and the reason we've chosen that translation is often when you're looking at just a broad overview, it's good to use a paraphrase. There are literal translations, such as Young's and Rotherham's, that are very good when you're picking apart specific verses. But to get an over concept, frequently a paraphrase would help. But feel very free to use your King James, your American Revised, whatever version you have, as we're going along. What we're going to do is we're going to first read the proposition and then think about that as we have the verses read. And then we want to discuss, for about 8 to 10 minutes, each of the various propositions in the development of Paul's Epistle, Ephesians 2 through 4. So the first proposition that we feel that Paul is discussing is that since worldliness is spiritual death, therefore the responsibility one owes for a new life is to identify with and live that life which God has planned for us. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Sister Sophie, would you read those from the sheet, and you have other translations, fine. You can do either you want. Follow the sheet or follow your own translation. Okay, we would like to get your response to these verses, to the proposition. What is Paul really telling us in this section? In your words. By the way, that's going to be the same question we're going to ask 8 times tonight. So get used to that question. What is Paul saying here in your words? What is he trying to develop for us as the basic thought? Ben? What makes the difference between spiritual death and spiritual life? Yep. You or anybody, but I'm going to start with you. You said you were bold enough to start, come right back at you. Okay. Anyone, what does it mean to you to have Christ rule? Very simple question, but it's not that easy to answer. Ken? What is the hand of God? Okay. Providences? Okay. Anyone else? Jeff, and then Jeff.
I have a question. We're operating in a company that says what is spiritual death or spiritual life. But I'm wondering if in Paul's identity that you were once dead with Adam, but now you have life in Christ, and that somewhere in
okay, we'll come back to your question after Jim's comment. Okay, the basic question we're working on is, what is Paul's overall concept? Okay, the specific question is, what constitutes death and life in this passage? And how does one, what makes the difference between death and life? How does one get from death to life? Okay, what does it mean to be ruled by Christ? For Christ to ruin you. Okay.
Ruled by Christ. But in my mind, it's something that we have tried, something that we have learned of him, what kind of spirit that he has. We have a desire in ourselves to live our life in accordance with the way that we see that his will for us is not something that we just let us go.
Oh, there's a nice illustration there on the head and the body. The head thinks, the body does. And if we leave the thinking to the head and do the acting from the head, it's him ruling in us. If I understand Jeff's question correctly, the Phillips translation starts out, to you who are spiritually dead. The King James doesn't go that way. It says, and you have been quickened who were dead. Where spiritually isn't in there. And if I understand Jeff's question, do we have any real authority to go beyond the mere thought of plain life and death? Just plain physical life and physical death. Is this the thought, or is it included spiritual? Is that your question? Okay. So there's a comment on Jeff's question. Any additional comments? Walter and then Brad. More the thought of the living dead. You're dead, but you're still walking around. So therefore, to categorize this, he said, you're spiritually dead. You're physically moving, but spiritually you're not. Brad? Perhaps a good parallel text to this full section is 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. In fact, 14 through 16. Grab one more verse there. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 16. John White, would you read that for us? That same responsibility thought is here. But here it carries the logic all the way through. That if we were dead, then we have life through the one who gave it to us. And if we have life through it to him, then we owe it to him. And if we owe it to him, then he becomes the head. It's the same pattern of logic. Jeff, coming back to summarizing your question, I think that if we look at spiritually dead from the standpoint of having first happened,